Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Stunt Treks. I'm your host, Uncle Jim, and with me as usual is the one and only, the Leslie Hoffman herself. How are you doing tonight, Leslie? Leslie, can you hear me? Okay, I also have with me Charles. He's my co-host from Trek Talking and Beyond every Thursday night. How are you doing tonight, Charles?
I'm doing all right, a little tired, but good.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about why you're so tired.
Well, I took a suggestion from our buddy Mark D. Lee and decided to go participate in CyberCon. I didn't spend the whole time there. The CyberCon was a 56-hour online convention. And basically, they gathered all kinds of people together, put them in time slots, did up a schedule, just like a regular convention. We have different rooms going at the same time, and off went the convention. One of the comments that I left at their ending show was the fact that compared to the convention I normally go to, Star Trek Las Vegas, I had a front row seat. I could interact with people, and I can move around whenever I wanted to easily. Take a break, do something else, look around for the next panel, looks interesting, and go watch it. But I could sit there and chat with, I could go chat with the people online or throw in comments that they post later.
Wow, sounds pretty interesting.
It was definitely interesting. I'm wondering about the direction some of the conventions are going to have to go because we just can't do a big convention. One of the conversations over the weekend was the fact that the news I heard Friday morning, San Diego Comic-Con is canceled. It's going to run until 2021. That's big news for a lot of conventions. But I gather they're all, excuse me, all kinds of conventions going on right now, but they're not running. There's supposed to be a lot of conventions on the calendar. Nobody can do a convention because everybody's closed down.
Yeah, they canceled Empire State Comic Con as well, which is too bad. I just hope they don't cancel Trek Conderoga in August. That would be a shame. Let me see if we can get
San Diego Comic-Con is July. So
let's see if we can get Leslie back with us. Leslie, can you hear us?
Can you hear me now?
Now we can hear you. How you doing, Leslie?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I started telling you about the weather. And you said, I can't hear. Well, I guess we'll try somebody. I'm fine. Just We're still in lockdown. Absolutely crazy weather here. It can snow in the morning, disappears by the afternoon, and yet the next morning the ground is covered with snow again.
Isn't Northeast just wonderful?
I love it. Hey, you know, they tell you that you should wait till May 15th to even take off your snow tires, but I'm, since I grew up here, I know it can snow as late as June or July. So I'm not in any panic mode.
And I hear that it was actually 61 here in Vermont today, so that was nice. And
and
Jamie and I went to Price Chopper and found toilet paper. Yes, it was a good day.
Can you mail some up my way?
I tell you, it doesn't take much to make us happy these days, does it? So, Leslie, I was just talking with Charles, and we were talking about San Diego Comic-Con's been canceled for the first time in, I don't know, 48 years or something.
50 years.
50 years.
Wow.
Do you think they're going to cancel Trek Conderoga in August? I hope not.
I would hope by August this whole thing is going to be done and over with. I mean, I think we're going to go into May easily with it. But, boy, if it isn't done by August, we're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. I've had it, but I got to go to work tomorrow. I can't believe it. I got to go to work for 4 hours and hang out in an empty building.
So in the past, have you been allowed to go into work, or have you been told to stay home and this is the first time they've actually asked you back in?
Well, when the virus first hit, I used to work at the jail, and I transferred out of the jail down to a local office building because I was tired of being essential. And I just wanted to be a normal person. And then I leave, and then this virus hits, and I'm automatically essential again. So figure that one out. But the office building I work in, one of the ladies there was getting tested for the coronavirus. They thought she had it. So I was like, why are we here working? And that went on for about 2 weeks. The building started emptying out, less and less and less and less people there. And then finally we had a meeting, and they said, look, we need to have you here to take care of the building, but we can't have you both here, and we don't want you here full time. So I work 4 hours a day, 1 week, and then I have the next week off, and my partner works 4 hours a day. So I go in and I work from 7 to 11, Monday through Friday this week, and then I'm off again next week. So it's not too bad. I get out of the house for a little while. But anyways, Leslie, we have a really fun show planned for you guys tonight. We're gonna talk about one-liners, some of the lines from movies that we remember that stick in our head, some lines that you hear, classic lines that you hear from movies. Sometimes they're misquoted, sometimes they're misused, but like "Beam me up, Scotty," for instance, never actually said that in Star Trek. In Star Trek IV, when he was in the park, he said. Scotty, beam me up. But that's as close as it ever came to beam me up, Scotty. So we're going to talk about some lines that are misquoted and some lines that we think are just fun from movies. Some movies you hear the line, you know exactly where that movie it came from. So that's what we're going to do for the next hour. Our phone number here is 646-668-2433. If you'd like to give us a call and share your favorite line with us, we'd love to hear from you. 646-668-2433. We'll be here for another hour. Like I said, we are live, and we'd love to hear from you. While I got you guys on the line and while I've got your attention, I just want to let you guys know that with this coronavirus thing going on, we are live. We're live right now. We're going to be live on Monday with Book Nook. We're going to be live again on Tuesday with Sounds of Sci-Fi. We're going to be live again on Thursday with Trek Talking and Beyond. And it costs us money to produce all these podcast and keep phone lines open to give you guys instant access so we could use your help. And all we're asking is $1 a month. Very simple. $1 and a dream. That's all we need. So you can head over to patreon.com/trektalking and become a patron with only $1. That's all it takes. We have other tiers there if you're so inclined, but all we're asking for is $1. You know, and if we, you know, we get 40 people to pledge $1, we'd be all set. So we're not asking for a lot, just a little bit of help to keep us on the air. We'd really appreciate it. Also, you can head over to our Facebook page, Trek Talking and Beyond at Facebook.com, and say hello. Or you can head over to the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization Facebook page and just say hello to Leslie. Leslie would absolutely love to hear from you. And she answers all of her questions and messages on her Facebook page personally. So with all of that out of the way, I want to dive right in. So some favorite lines from your favorite movies. Interesting topic. We had a lot of fun doing the soundtracks, so I thought we would, you know, do this one. So Leslie, why don't we dive in, and we'll just start off with how about this one? This one right here.
I shall leave you as you left me, as you left her, my room.
Now, that of course, is from Battlestar Galactica, and that's what Lauren Green says to the Cylon leader at the end of the movie. Now, anyways, I'm just kidding. So every time I heard that, I always thought he said Khan three times. Did you guys think that? Do you remember him saying Khan three times?
No, I think it was twice.
How about
you,
Leslie? Do you remember?
The operator only heard it twice, unless you're talking about different times in the movie.
Well, I always remembered him saying it three times. And every time we listen to that clip, it's only twice. But I'm going to tell you why I thought it was three times. I just watched the Blu-ray director's cut of The Wrath of Khan. And when he says Khan twice, as the camera pulls away from the planetoid, we actually hear the echo of Khan in the background. So he says it twice, but we actually hear it three times, because as the camera pulls out of the planet, we hear him say Khan a third time, but it's only the echo. And if you watch the Blu-ray director's cut and you listen carefully, you will hear Khan said three times, twice by Kirk, once by his echo. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Of course.
Well, I have a question about, I mean, I know it was the television show, but and then he passed away so early and on in the movies, is, you know, Bones would always say, I'm a doctor, not a, and you fill in the blank.
Yo.
Did he
ever
say that,
quite
that
a bit.
In any of the movies?
Let me see. Yes. Yes. Well, kind of. In the J.J. Abrams movies, Dr. McCoy said something similar to that. He didn't actually say that, but he did say this.
Dr. McCoy, you inadvertently activated a torpedo. Could you replicate the process?
Why the hell would I want to do that?
Can you or can you not?
Damn it, man, I'm a doctor, not a torpedo technician.
The fact that you're a doctor is precisely why I need you to listen.
Actually, my favorite quote from a Star Trek movie is the one with Scotty going, hello, computer, or computer, hello. You know, he's talking into the mouth.
Just use the keyboard. How quaint. And, of course,
colorful metaphors.
Colorful metaphors.
Captain.
And to answer your question, Leslie, here's a little clip we used to play a lot. I don't think I've played this in quite a while. I blew the dust off of it because you brought it up. Here's a little comp of every time Dr. McCoy said that on the original Star Trek.
My name is McCoy. I'm a doctor.
What am I, a doctor or a moon shuttle conductor?
I jumped every time a light came on around here. I'd end up talking to myself.
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
You're a healer. There's a patient.
Right.
That's an order.
I'm a surgeon, not a psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist.
Look, I'm a doctor, not an escalator. Spock, give me a hand.
I'm a doctor, not a mechanic. I'm a doctor, not an engineer.
No, you're an engineer.
I'm a doctor, not a coal miner.
You
keep saying that. Are you a doctor, aren't you?
I don't know.
I think that made McCoy famous, that I'm a doctor, not a whatever. That's one of those things that everybody remembers from Star Trek.
Right. Do you know that I'll have to look it up on YouTube and see if I can find it, but DeForest Kelly played a doctor in a black and white show, and he actually said that line, I'm a doctor, not a, and I don't remember what he said, he wasn't, but he, before, way before Star Trek, he actually used that line.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'll have to try to look it up, and I'll send it to you.
Wow, I know he was a.
Maybe I'll post it.
I know he played a bad guy in a lot of the old black and white westerns.
Yeah.
I know that, but I did not know that he was a doctor before he was a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so strange to see him. You know, he's dressed up in regular clothes, and he goes something about, "I'm a doctor, not a." And I'll just have to look for it after the show.
Wow, that would be interesting. Post that up on the Facebook page for everybody to check out. But anyway,
yeah.
There's a lot of lines that people hear from movies. I just watched a movie yesterday, I believe it was, with my daughter. And in it, there's a line where the person goes, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father. And, of course, Darth Vader says that to Luke, and Luke says, he told me enough. He told me you killed him. And Vader says, no, I am your father. I love it. Classic line. I mean,
it
doesn't get any better than that. Or here's one for you, Leslie. Here's one just for you, because we have to go there. We have to go there. There's a famous line in a movie where this particular actor yells, "It's a madhouse, a madhouse." You remember that movie?
I think you're talking about Soylent Green.
No, but close.
Huh?
No, I was talking about Planet of the Apes.
Oh, is that the Planet of the Apes?
Yep, Charlton Heston.
They finally did it. They blew themselves up.
Yes. Yes, when he's looking at the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Or how about this one?
I still love it when Zira says, "You're so damn ugly."
And then she kisses him. Some great stuff. How about, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore, Toto.
Well,
yeah.
I like toot-toot. I like Birdie Billy Burke saying toot-toot-toot. Can I bring Toto with me? Toot-toot-toot.
Toot-toot-toot-toot. Some great stuff. How about, do you feel lucky, punk? Do you fire 6 or only 5? Good old Dirty Harry.
I made the Kessler run in less than 12 parsecs.
And you know what? I always thought to myself, that doesn't make any sense, because a parsec is distance, not time. And then, of course, you get to see Solo, and you find out why he says that, which then it made sense. But for all those years, it never did. It never made sense up to that point. Let's see. Y'all, here it is. This is the what I was talking about.
Scotty, beam me up.
Right.
Yep, Scotty, beam me up is as close as he ever gets to actually beam me up, Scotty. Which is something a lot
that
of people...
up. Yeah, it's really funny because we sort of play a Trivial Pursuit game here at Will Rogers, and one of the questions was, how many times on Star Trek did Captain Kirk say, beam me up, Scotty? And no one knew the answer, and I said, zero. He never said
zero.
It.
Exactly. And the award goes to the Leslie Hoffman.
A couple of weeks ago, one of the this Trivial Pursuit game was printed in like 1980, but it was what color is Vulcan blood? And you got to realize most of the people here are 85 years or older. And, you know, I go, green. And everyone's going, what? 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 What?
Yeah,
I mean, it's
green.
Like this is worth a question.
Well, yeah, like what color is Klingon blood? Of course, there's two answers to that one.
Green. No, Vulcan's green.
Ooh.
Yeah, Leslie, you know what color Klingon blood is? And there's two answers.
No, actually, I.
Well, according to Star Trek VI, it's Pepto-Bismol pink. But every single time we ever see Worf or a Klingon on Star Trek get in a fight, it's red. And the reason why they made it pink is because Star Trek VI got an R rating, because when they had all the Klingons getting blown up and there was all blood flying everywhere else and pools of blood floating in space and Gorkon laying on a pool of blood, they thought it was too violent, and they gave it an R rating, and they said, oh, no, we can't have an R-rated Star Trek. We got to fix this. So they changed the blood from red to pink. Boom, PG. It was that simple. So Klingon blood is actually, well, I guess you could say it's red or pink. Depends on what you want to believe. Now, on Discovery in the episode Point of Light, when they have the big Batleth battle, the blood is a pinkish color. So they tried to keep it that way. But prior to Star Trek VI, Klingon blood was always red. So, but I'm a Klingon fan.
I'd have to go back and look at a TNG or DS9 episode where he's bleeding, because I can't picture an episode where he's been bleeding. You're going to have to give me a name of an episode so I can look it up.
Well, if you watch the episode Reunion, when Worf kills Gowra, or when Worf kills Duras, the blood on his batlet is red. When he kills Gowron, the blood is red.
Oh, okay, yeah.
When he slaps Worf in the face and the Klingon High Council in Redemption, the split lip on Worf's lip is red. Klingon blood was always red until, you know, Star Trek VI. But then people have justified it by saying, well, it was in space, and once the blood enters the atmosphere, it changes color, and so forth. So, but yeah, it's red or pink, depending on what time you're looking at.
Yeah.
So there's a Trivial Pursuit question for you.
Okay. Well, I have two that kind of go together, since you did Star Wars, is May the Force be with you. But if you do Spaceballs, it's May the Farce be with you.
May the Schwartz be with you. Yes. Classic movie. I love that movie. There's so many one-liners in that movie that it would be so difficult. Like, comb the desert. And then the next scene, you see the stormtroopers or the Spaceball troopers with giant combs combing the desert. or you know.
Well,
take
remember
only
that
the
black stormtroopers had a.
Do you
remember that the black stormtroopers had a pick instead of a comb?
Yeah,
yeah.
They had a giant hair pick. Great stuff. Mel Brooks
insults everybody. But you laugh
yes,
at
he
it.
Does.
I mean, it's not an intentional, you know, put down of a race or religion. I mean, like I say, he just insults everybody.
He's an equal opportunity insulter. Or how about stop calling me Shirley and I never jest? From Airplane.
Wait a minute, I'm getting... Right.
You know, so...
Well, that's,
I mean, there's a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah, again, that... It's like every other line is... it's an insult or a play on words. You know, something about a hospital. What is that? It's a big building with rooms.
Patients. Big building with patients, but that's not important right now.
Right. That's not important right now.
Those movies were hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And, you know, sometimes just a simple phrase will pull you right into a movie. You know, all you got to do is hear a line, hear a phrase, and you're instantly pulled. Oh yeah, and it just you can see the whole movie playing right in front of you. You know, it's incredible how powerful certain phrases and certain lines can be identified with certain characters in certain movies. You know, what are some
I'll
of your favorites, Charles?
Back.
Yes,
said,
I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Baby. Yeah.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger had so many. You know, good one-liners that, I mean, that's all he really much, well, he couldn't talk English very well, so all he could do was throw out one-liners. But he did it so
well. I think Clint Eastwood also was great for the one-liners.
Yeah, I think you're right. He threw out a lot of them. Absolutely. Dirty Harry was loaded with them. And, you know, one of my favorites, actually, from Star Trek, was this guy.
I protest. I am not a merry man.
Worf. Worf ended up becoming... Worf became the king of one-liners, I think unintentionally, because they just... I guess they just started throwing him in there. He'd say stuff like, nice hat, or good tea, or I am not a merry man, and, you know...
Yeah.
They just wrote these one-liners for Worf that turned out to be just funny, and they defined the character. And I don't know if that was intentional or accidental, but he was like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of Star Trek.
Well, one of my favorite lines, again, it's a Bones line, and it's only one episode, and I can't think of which episode it is, but where Bones says... He's talking about whatever happened being very emotional, and he goes, in this case, it gets you right here, and, you know, he puts his hand where a human heart would be, but then he goes, but in your case, it would be about right here, and he touches whichever side of his body, indicating that's where the Vulcan heart is.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember that scene, but I don't remember the episode. Charles, do you remember that episode?
Yeah, I can't think of which.
I can't think of the episode right now. But, of course, Bones had another great line. He's dead, Jim.
Oh yeah. Yes. Speaking of he's dead,
Jim. How about when they thought, when Spock thought Kirk was dead, and Spock says something about to Bones, you know, I think he tells him where the ship needs to go, but then you need to arrest me and put me in the brink. And then Kirk comes out and says something like, don't you need to ask me first? And Spock goes, Jim, you're alive, or something like that. And Bones is saying something like, you know, now you can't tell me that you didn't have a spark of emotion, and Spock kind of sloughs it off, but this is the part that I love, is that Bones says, yeah, in a pig's eye.
Yes, that was the Enterprise incident. That was in a moment,
yeah,
where Spock actually showed emotion, I believe. So speaking of that, Leslie, here's another comp of McCoy saying his favorite line.
A dead man, Doctor.
Very dead, Mr. Spock.
He's dead, Jim.
He's dead, Captain. He's dead, Jim.
He's dead. Dead, Jim. The man is dead. He's dead, Captain. He's dead, Jim.
He's dead.
He's dead. He's dead, Jim. He's dead, Jim. She's dead. She's dead. She's dead. She's dead. She's dead, Jim.
Let us hear it for our poor dead friend.
He's dead, Jim.
So I guess McCoy must have the most, well, even though they're the same, probably McCoy has the most recognizable repeated lines.
Well, how about this one?
Live long and prosper.
Well,
I mean, we can't have Star Trek without that, right? I mean, you got to have that.
Yeah, but I think people were dead in every other episode, if not every episode.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But
I think people died more.
Live long and prosper is is identifiable with Spock. Here's one that... surprise, but Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap used to say, oh boy, and he had to change the way he said it every episode, so it didn't, you know, it wasn't just the same oh boy, it would be oh boy or oh boy. I mean,
you know,
now there's something that someone needs to thread together, how many different ways he said oh boy.
Did he ever jump home? Did he ever make it back home? I don't remember.
Did he ever?
Yeah, did he ever jump back home? Did he ever catch up with Al?
That's an interesting question. I didn't really watch Quantum Leap. You know, I know what it was about, but I don't know. I don't know if in the final episode he made it back or not.
Oh,
that's Charles, did you ever watch
that's
Quantum
a trivia
Leap?
Question.
I didn't catch it, no. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a few episodes of it, but I not enough to really... I mean, I know who Al is, and I know Scott Bakula, and I've seen him jump into different bodies and things, but I probably saw less than a half a dozen episodes of the whole run, so I don't really know. Interesting. I don't know.
Okay. How about this little girl who says the line, they're here.
Yes, Poltergeist. And then in the sequel, she says, "They're back."
Yeah.
And you know what's
how
a shame?
How about in The Shining? How about in The Shining? Here's Johnny.
Here's Johnny, yeah.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, there's so much good stuff out there.
Oh.
There really is. Tons of it.
Okay, so here's another one to throw out. The name Bond. James Bond.
Bond. James Bond.
Yeah.
So,
stirred, not shaken.
Yes,
yeah,
that's another good one. So, guys, we're doing a new show on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock called "The Sounds of Sci-Fi from TV and Movie Horrors," and we have a new intro. And I'm going to throw something out to you guys. I'm going to play it for you right here. This is the premiere. You'll hear it actually at the beginning of our show on Tuesday. But this is a perfect example. Whoever can call me and tell me every clip in this that you're about to hear, what movie it came from, I've got a nice prize for you. I'll send you Star Trek Origins Blu-ray if you can tell me correctly every one of the movies from these clips that you're about to hear. And this is, as again, this is going to be the intro for our new show on Tuesday nights called Sounds of Sci-Fi.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
I'll be back.
Death by stereo.
This was no boat accident. Did you notify the Coast Guard about this?
The man out! A man out!
Oh, you're so cool, Brewster.
No, I am your father.
Come!
Captain Kirk's nipples.
Here's Johnny.
Flexing.
And may the Schwartz be with you. What a world.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
And that is going to be the intro to our new show on Tuesday nights. You guys catch all those movies? Can you name any of them?
Quite a few, but not all of them.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there. And I tried to get lines that I thought would be recognizable or that you would have heard before. Now, obviously, I'll give you guys, obviously, we heard Planet of the Apes because I already told you that. It's a madhouse. It's Planet of the Apes. Obviously, we have The Wizard of Oz in there with Toto. And, of course, we have Jaws in there. This was no boating accident. And as Charles already touched on, we have Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Terminator saying, "I'll be back." And just to give you guys a little, give you a little head start. So figure out what those movies are and then call our show, any one of our shows. The phone number is the same for all of our live podcasts. 64, my cat's jumping on me here. Hi, Shad. Our phone number is the same for all of our podcasts. 646-668-2433. Call any one of our shows and tell me what those movies are, and you can win this Blu-ray of Star Trek Origins. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty easy deal. What do you think? Or Leslie, would you rather give somebody an autographed picture?
Oh, I'd be willing to do that. Before I say that, the problem is I can't get to the post office, and I'm not sure
That's right.
Somebody wanted an autograph picture from me, and I'm not sure how I can do that. I got to figure out how, you know, I can sign a picture, get it in an envelope. Hopefully, maybe on errand day up here, I can have someone go down to the post office. I assume the post office is open, or the lobby area.
It should be open.
Yeah, so if you guys want to listen to that clip back 500 or 600 times and tell me those movies, that'd be great. We'll get you a little prize. We'll get you something. All right? Whoever can get the answer to that question, tell me what all those movies are in that clip. Whether you want to call this show or Truck Talking or Book Nook or any of the other ones that we do, give us a call and answer that question and you'll win. It's that simple, that easy. But yeah, so did you guys hear some of your favorites in that clip? It's tough because there's so many, you know, I want to keep it to under 2 minutes because it's only an intro. So I don't want it to be too long. So you got to keep it short and trying to pull your, you know, recognizable clips like that out of movies when there's so many good ones. But I think I did a pretty good job. That's actually my second attempt. So anyways, so how about you, Charles?
I've never really been a fan of these movies. But one another one that's real quotable is a line, "Say hello to my little friend."
Oh, yes, from Scarface. Yes. I saw the movie, but it was just, it was so violent and gory and bloody for me. I did see it, though. "Say hello to my little friend." Yes, classic, classic, classic. So let's see, what else do I have here?
Here's one that goes back way back, but it's especially one for the older group. E.T. Phone Home.
Yes, Phone Home. Phone 1982. Yes. Now, let me see.
Well, if you want to go way, way back, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Don't give a damn. Yeah.
That's gone with the wind.
You know what? I sat through that entire movie, Leslie. I sat through the whole movie waiting for him to say, "Quite frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." And it's the very last line in the movie, so you have to suffer through the entire movie. And then when he says it, he doesn't even say it that way. He just says, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." And I'm like, I waited 2.5 hours for that. I'm like, wow. But I did watch it, though. I'm trying to find. I got another one
know.
Here.
Here, I'll get hate mail or something. Is that, I don't think Gone with the Wind is that great of a movie. I mean.
Oh, you know what? I'm right there with you. I don't either.
Someone got paid off for that movie to win all the Academy Awards that it won because it's not that good of a movie. I mean, it's like when they're at the top of the staircase and she's pregnant and she says, "Why don't you have an accident?" And she rolls down the stairs. I mean, I've told you, I hate telecasting something that's going to happen, you know. They're in an airplane. "We're going to be arriving in 20 minutes. Well, that means the plane's going to crash. So being at the top of the staircase and saying, "Why don't you have an accident," or whatever you said to her, and then she rolls down the staircase, or the little girl, you know, "Don't let her ride the horse, you know, something might happen." Yeah, so she crashes into the jump with the horse and dies. I mean, it's like, why don't you just tell me that you're about to kill the girl if you're going to say a line like that?
Well, it's like every time you watch a horror movie and they say, "Let's split up." And it's like, well, why don't you just ring the dinner bell, you know? That way you can each die individually. off screen somewhere. But I digress, because there was one movie, Friday the 13th, Part 29, I think it was, or whatever, where there's a bunch of people out there having a paint gun fight for some team building thing for some office, and Jason's massacring everybody, and there's four of them, and they got their paint guns, and they all stand back to back with each other, and Jason jumps down in the middle of them, swings his machete around, and beheads all four of them at once. So, yeah, sometimes splitting up doesn't really make a difference. You're going to die anyways.
Yeah.
But,
or how about when the woman runs up the stairs? Oh, great. Let's run upstairs and make sure that I can't get out of the house.
Or why do they always scream, "Leave me alone"? Not, really, really. Do you actually think that Michael Myers is trying to kill you and you're going to yell, "Leave me alone," and he's just going to say, "Okay," and walk away?
We got to make him. That'd be great. We need to make a Spaceballs, but a horror funny movie about "Leave me alone" and have whatever monster go, "Oh, okay."
Okay.
Walks out of the room.
Or how many times have you seen the woman running away and she falls and hurts her ankle or her knee or whatever?
Right. Or
you know,
this is one that always gets me, but it's not a horror movie necessarily, more drama, crime drama, mystery drama, whatever you want to call it, is somebody is chasing somebody on foot. They're driving a car and they're chasing the person on foot, and the person is running down the middle of the road. Why don't they climb up the staircase? Why don't they go into a narrow alley that the car can't go down or can't drive up the staircase?
I've wondered that myself. It's like, let's run down the middle of the road while we're being chased by a car. What's wrong with you? Just go between some buildings. You're done. You escape. You know, movie over. So, Leslie, what is that? You've been in a lot of horror movies. Have you ever had to do something incredibly stupid in a horror movie so that they could kill you?
Oops.
Like when you've been in a horror movie, have you ever had to do something incredibly stupid just so that you could be killed by the murderer, like run up some stairs or fall down and twist an ankle or do something stupid just so they could kill you?
It wasn't. I'm going to answer it with a completely different question. Is that when I did Motel Hell, I was supposed to be drowning this girl, except, like I say, stunt people don't get scripts, so I'm wearing a wetsuit because I know I'm going to be in freezing cold water, and all of a sudden they're telling me that I have to, you know, go under the water with the girl that I'm drowning. Well, when you're wearing a wetsuit, you're like a cork. There's no way you're going to be able to go under the water. I can't dive under the water wearing a full wetsuit. I mean, unless I was wearing weights, which I wasn't.
So how?
That really wasn't your question.
So like, did you ever have to do a stunt where you're running
through
the woods?
I think any horror movie I did. I did the movie The Car, and we knew that the horses were going to go running down this racetrack, and we were supposed to avoid being run over by the horses. But no one told us that they were going to have this wind machine that kicked up dust, and the horses couldn't see the people. So I got knocked down by one of the horses, actually by the stirrup of the horse. It was wearing a saddle, and I just figured I was going to get trampled to death. And luckily, the horses didn't step on me. If you watch the movie, I mean, it's a split second, but if you watch the movie, there's a young stuntman, and this horse basically runs chest into chest of this
young stuntman. I mean, it just ran over the top of him. Luckily, he wasn't hurt. I mean, you know, I don't think the hooves hit him. But I mean, to get tackled by a horse has got to hurt.
Oh, I bet you it does. Ugh, my God. I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, so again, it isn't... There hasn't been a script where I had to do something that I'm going like, why would I do this? But I've had situations that have gone wrong.
But you're still here with us, though, so that's everything worked out fine in the end. Which is good. So
Well, it was like I worked on an episode of Falcon Crest where supposedly there was an earthquake, and again, I'm talking about technical things. I'm not talking about the script now. Or the script says that this beam falls down while this, I don't know if she was a housekeeper, a nursemaid, whatever, carrying the child. She hands the child off to this guy, and well, her foot goes through the staircase. And she hands the child off to the guy, and this beam is supposed to come down, or I don't know. But anyways, the beam actually fell while they were trying to string it up, and it breaks in half. So the crew people put the beam back together with, like, a little piece of wood. You know, in other words, they nailed a piece of wood, maybe on either side of the beam, thinking that it was going to hold this beam together. Well, I don't know. I just had a really bad feeling about this, and I left the staircase a little earlier than I would have, and sure enough, the beam broke in half again. I mean, I would have been smacked by, you know, the upper half of the beam that was still attached to the ceiling if I hadn't left early.
And you know what? It's almost like you had the force, because you had a very bad feeling about this.
No, I think I had the farce.
The farce. Yeah, because Star Wars, they always had a really bad feeling about this.
Yeah, because, well, and the reason I say farce is when someone says to you, and this is in real life now, this isn't even in the movie, oh, well, we've put the beam back together. There's no way in the world that this beam is going to break in half again. Well, that, just like in 20 minutes, the plane's going to be landing. This beam will never break in half again. Well, that just, I just, that gave me such a bad feeling, and I didn't trust the beam anymore.
Well, didn't they say Titanic would never sink either? And look what happened there. Poor Leonardo DiCaprio turned into a popsicle. You know? Poor guy. But,
yeah.
So there's a lot. There's a lot. A lot of good stuff out there.
Well, I picked up a couple
of course,
more. I was picking up a couple more skimming the internet. See if you remember this one. There's 106 miles to Chicago. You have a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarette, and it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Yes, yes. Blues Brothers. They were also on
a
mission from God.
Yes. And then one by another actor. Human sacrifice, dogs living together, mass hysteria.
Bill Murray from Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Yep.
That, I'm going to put that clip in our
intro. That's another
quotable
movie.
Yes. Yes. When someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
You say yes.
Or one of my favorites is when Dan Aykroyd says, "Listen, do you smell something?" Listen, do you smell something? Anyways, so guys,
he
guess
slimed
what?
Me.
It's I know it's hard to believe, but we're out of time already. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that went by. So
I want to make sure let you guys know that tomorrow, which is Monday, we have a special show, a brand new show. I don't know how many we're going to do or how long we're going to do it, but at least once, and maybe a couple of more until this pandemic thing is over. But we have a brand new show that's replacing Comic Corner called Book Nook. And Charles and Eric are going to be talking about The Last Best Hope, the Star Trek Picard tie-in novel to Star Trek Picard, the series. So they're going to be talking about that at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Monday. And same bat time, same bat channel. And, of course, the phone number is 646-668-2433. If you read the book and you'd like to call and share your thoughts on it, please, please do. And as I said earlier, Tuesday, same bat time, same bat channel at 7 o'clock. We have Sounds of Sci-Fi, where we're going to play theme songs from our favorite horror movies and TV shows. So you don't want to miss that. We're going to play that intro that I played for you earlier. And again, if you can name all the movies in that clip, you can pick up a Blu-ray of Star Trek Origins. It's a really good deal. A lot of good stuff on there. And that's going
or
to be on...
Or an autographed picture from Leslie.
That's right. Or an autographed picture from Leslie. I personally would go for the autographed picture of Leslie myself, but that's up to you guys. First, you go out and identify all the movies, and then you got to let us know. So once again, the number is 646-668-2433. And of course, that leads us up to a day off on Wednesday. That's a shocker, huh? And then Thursday. Thursday, we're right back at you at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Trek Talk and Beyond. And we're going to be talking about the TNG two-part episode, Descent, where Lore comes back, the Borg comes back, all kinds of fun stuff happens. We're going to break down that episode and talk about how it ties in to Star Trek Picard. We're going to rate the episode, and we also have some Star Trek news to talk about, and we have the titles of the first 7 episodes of Star Trek Discovery Season 3, so you want to tune in for that. Spoiler alert, if you don't want to know the titles of the episodes, then, you know, you want to tune in a little bit later, or just turn down the volume when we do that. So that's what's going on this week with our podcast. And I want to take this moment to say thank you to the one and only Leslie Hoffman for hanging out and chatting with us tonight. Leslie, thank you very, very, very much.
Oh, it's so nice to hear a human voice.
I bet it is. And also, I want to say thank you to Charles. Charles, as I said, is my usual co-host from Trek Talking and Beyond. He's been joining us here on Stunt Treks the last couple of weeks with the coronavirus. He's going to be joining me, of course, on the Sounds of Sci-Fi on Tuesday night. And we can't do the Book Nook without him because I haven't read the book. So Charles has been pretty busy with the podcast this week as well. And I want to say thank you to Charles for making time in his schedule to hang out and do all these podcasts with me. Thank you very much, Charles.
Oh, I agree with Leslie. Human interaction is important right now.
Yeah, we need it. We definitely need it. And I want to say thank you to each and every of you guys around the globe for tuning in and listening to our show. We really appreciate it. And I want you guys to be safe and be good to each other. And we'll talk to you all again tomorrow night, same bat time, same bat channel with Book Nook. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Live long and prosper.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.